It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, and more. And he joins us on a Tuesday morning, whether it's good weather or bad. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you and everybody out there. Hope you've had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. For the grandkids, they keep getting bigger and smarter. Smarter than Grandpa. Anyhow, cross-country skiing, I guess, is the norm up there now, huh?
cross-country skiing. Of course, we have the incredible Salisbury Winter Sports Association. We do ski jumping up here as well. So, I mean, we give you everything. There's no
you do
here.
Everything.
We do
everything.
No, I don't. I look at it all.
Well, you monitor.
That's right.
You manage it.
There has to be somebody that monitors it and loves it and enjoys to see it from a warm building.
Anyhow, let's talk here. And well, let's see. I'm searching for something really good, and I'm not going to come up with anything for the moment.
There's a million things you can talk about. I mean,
I think the most important thing in terms of people's finances would be to talk now about those, the markets. The behavior of the president is irrational, and I don't want to give him an excuse, but conceivably the pressure he's under from possible impeachment is causing him to be more erratic. Let me give you examples of what I mean. He has levied tariffs against Argentina and Brazil on steel and aluminum because since their currencies have fallen and are off, the price of those items from those countries is more attractive than steel and aluminum in this country or elsewhere. Now, the whole problem with, there's no logic to the fact that these countries are trying to get their currencies down because one of them is in tremendous economic problem and the other one has got big political problems. So much so that they've had to sell some of their foreign reserves to try and maintain their currency. What the president is getting at, very simply, is he's hacked off that the Chinese are buying so much steel and aluminum, bypassing our tariffs, and that irks him. It also irks him that the Chinese have found markets in Brazil for soybeans, and they found markets other than the United States. So the tariffs are doing nothing but harm in terms of psychologically to various markets, various countries, including our own. It never seems to stop. Now, the president is also very erratic in terms of today he's saying, well, maybe there won't be a China trade deal until after the election. Well, that's 9-10 months away, folks. And, you know, a lot can happen to an economy that's uncertain, burdened by excessive costs, burdened by small businesses saying, hey, I don't know that we want to hire any more people because I don't know where we're going. So bottom line, caution's the byword. If you haven't been selling into the stock market, please do. And also, please be realistic about what's going on here. We have an economy that's been doing very well for about 11 years, long before President Trump came to office. We've had a stock market that's gone from about 9,000 to 28,000. Again, a lot of that gained before President Trump came to office. I seize upon that because he's been in office roughly 2 years. So I'm trying to tell us, me, all of us, that this thing has been going on for a very, very long time. Based on the parameters I just gave you.
You know, Jim, listening to you talk, and when I woke up this morning and looked at the news, first you see that, first of all, they're not even calling this a meeting like they normally call it, that Donald Trump went over to the meeting with the EU, because if they have an actual meeting, They have to put out a communique. And because Donald Trump won't sign their communiques, they're not going to even put out communiques anymore. But the first thing he did, of course, was take off after Macron about his comments about what he said about the European Union and NATO. But then you look at this, and he was off the plane just a few minutes. 100% potential now, 100% taffets on, tariffs on French goods, including champagne, yogurt, and luxury goods. That's an, and
see,
that's,
this is a sign of a very immature person bordering on childhood. His timing is indicative of the fact, well, I'm here, and I'm going to push your face in it. And that's terrific if you're in the schoolyard, but it's not terrific if you're the leader of the largest economy in the world and supposedly a leader militarily and in a lot of other ways. It just sets the stage for negativity and basically not accomplishing anything.
Well, on top of that, Jim, after the World Trade Organization ruled that Airbus received market-distorting subsidies, the U.S. responded by how? Threatening more tariffs on a wide range now of EU goods. See, it doesn't just stop there. He is so impulsive. And, you know, instead of thinking these things, I'm not saying that the things he's doing are right or wrong. I'm not qualified to figure whether they're right or wrong. But what he does, what is wrong, is he doesn't meet with his staff, his cabinet, and discuss these things and how to release them without just blurting them out on Twitter. It's the damnedest thing I think any head of any country has ever seen.
Well, this is why it is a very dangerous leader we have in the White House regarding not only our own economy, but the world's economy. You know, we've been working in sync very nicely through recessions, through inflations, since the Second World War. And we got through this 2008 recession, almost depression, because of cooperation. When you give up cooperation and you have so many different economies that have been in sync, but now you throw them out of sync, there's only one way to go, and it's south. The last time we had a depression was in the 30s. When the U.S. and Britain started going at one another with tariffs, there's a thing called Hawley-Smoot, which was a law that we created here. You might want to look it up in the books. But we had a devastating depression, which is further caused by the Federal Reserve making a mistake of raising rates early in the downturn because they felt they wanted to keep the dollar strong. So it was a combination of a terrible decision on the Fed, but more importantly, the childlike behavior of politicians going at one another, using tariffs. And those tariffs, they primarily hurt people generally, poor, rich, whatever. They just hurt people generally. They never get you anywhere. It's a stalemate. So I'm not predicting anything as dire as a depression. Because at this juncture, the administration is so all over the lot, it's very difficult to really formulate what's happening. Other than that, the economy is slowing. Manufacturing numbers were lower this last reporting month. The economy is due for a slowdown based on the longevity and the natural consequence of economic activity. We need make it worse by doing stupid things. And right now this country is doing very stupid things. The other thing which might be even more important is what is happening to our government. And by that I mean the Republicans are failing to look in the eye of the truth. We're going to have hearings. We're going to have a vote on the impeachment. We'll probably go to the Senate to decide it. But in the interim, the Republicans must do their duty and acknowledge the truth of what is going on. Be it the Mueller report, or the meetings at the House level with witnesses who are incredibly, incredibly patriotic and good folks and loyal and only wishing for the best for the country. Yet the Republicans are giving them the bad eye and basically accusing them of lying. That's not the way you run a country, not the way you run a government. So you folks who are Republicans who have people in office that you can write to, please write to them. We are a democracy, a republic. We're a republic, but we're a democracy. We're a country. We will try as a unit of people to get together and do the best for everybody. Not perfectly, but the best we can. This kind of behavior of not facing the truth, it will prove disastrous. It will absolutely prove disastrous.
You know, while watching the news and seeing as I'm 67 and I've been in broadcasting basically since I was 15 years old as a part-time intern, but actually working full-time ever since I was a little over 18, and covering news stories and going to news events and seeing news events, the thing that is the most dysfunctional. Now, Washington is a dysfunctional place. Let's just be honest here. Washington was dysfunctional before Donald Trump, but it was dysfunctional in a different way. Whenever you get hundreds and hundreds of House members and 50 senators together, and especially when you're in an election cycle, and now you're in an election cycle every 2 years, things go haywire. But then the main thing that really concerns me is the fact that we do have an administration that releases information by tweet directly from the president. And, you know, if that were curtailed and somehow controlled, you wouldn't have the stock market jumping on everything that happens good and everything that happens bad as much as they do right now. Because the president and, I'll be honest with you, the House and the Senate are enough. If I was in the stock markets, it's mind dizzying the positives and negatives that you see, and yet still the market has progressed steadily ever since Barack Obama took over, and yes, under Donald Trump. But it's what I'm saying is that we're really on the precipice of something bad happening with these instantaneous tweets. They're just a dangerous thing. They can make, you know, it's like, and I had a boss once that I didn't get along with, but he was right. Whenever he wrote a letter to somebody, he would take that letter and he would put it in the desk drawer. Then he would bring it out later on that day and look at it and make sure that's what he wanted to say.
Right.
You can't do that with tweets.
You can't do that with social media.
You can't do that with social media. Once it's there, it's there. You know, Rob Borsellino is a friend of mine who has published newspaper. He said, damn, the worst thing about publishing a newspaper is no matter how many times you print a retraction, once the mistake is there, it's there.
No one needs it's always been my favorite thing. No one reads corrections or retractions.
And that is the bad thing about the administration allowing this, and they have to. He's the president. He can do basically what he wants to tweet on every single thing instantaneously.
Maybe that's why Jack Dorsey's moving to Africa for 6 months of the year.
But you know, it's just one of those things. And it sounds so childish. Oh, come on, Marshall. What harm can tweeting do?
Are you
kidding? Loose lips sink ships. That came from a very smart person, ladies.
But there's what's even more interesting is now all these years later, people just are so reactive. A person who's got a pretty good job in New York went down and visited a friend of mine and who lives in Mexico City, and that person was so jangly because you go to the market? Oh, you go over here? And they were going to visit someone to look at a piece of art in a place that was, let's call it gated, you know, like a secure area. But she kept looking at her GPS saying, oh, but we have to turn here. And he was saying to her, actually, the person who lives in here has to come get us. Oh, no, it says here on the app that we have to turn here. It was so There are, sadly, and I mean, this is a seriously organized, quote, person who lives in New York and who just does everything on her screen, every single thing. She shops. Presumably she uses the screen to go to the bathroom. I have no idea. But the what is being caused, and the reason that I mention it, is because people are just so reactive and they don't even take a second to, all right, let me just look and assess the area. Oh, just see if there's an asteroid coming, because everything seems to be confined to that, 4x2 space. And if you are dealing with things that are confined to that 4x2 space, if that's even the right dimensions, you're missing a lot.
I know, Jim. I'm going to bounce this idea off both you and Joe. If I were at the major news networks and I was a news director and I was a network head, I'd get together, and I'd say there's got to be a way where we can calm the situation down by not covering every tweet instantaneously by cover. And I'm not talking about just the president. I'm talking about everybody.
Axios did that.
Just pull back, okay? Let the people tweet, and then let the story develop. And while the story is developing, have your reporters write a story on what develops after it. You know, by putting all this stuff up instantaneously, you're pouring gasoline on the fire.
And you're not giving people sufficient information to... You are basically saying, oh, look, over there! And then people go running over there, and meanwhile, you can do all sorts of stuff over here.
What the media is doing with social media is like being in a movie theater and shouting fire. I'm sorry.
Every 15 seconds.
It's just wrong.
Once people go back to their seats, it's like, oh, no, smoke. I'm with you. I'm afraid.
We've read, and I'll keep reading and hearing about people feeling a greater amount of discomfort, irritation, upsetment, depression. And I would say that this Twitter, this way we live our lives, as you two have been describing, is the reason for that. But the other thing is, I think we were all brought up with the idea that you think before you talk. And the reason you do that is so that, one, you won't look like a fool, and two, that maybe you'll add something productive to a conversation or to something that's going on in your life or other people's lives. This instantaneous thing, it's like tossing a coin. You might be right one time and wrong the next time. It's that simple. Nobody's brain can take stuff in and just spit it out and really be of value or be correct.
Well, this is one of the things that and now I'm really going to sound like a 67-year-old old bag, but this is one of the things that when you went to school and you were with your parents and you had family gatherings back then, which were family gatherings which had 20 and 30 people, 40 people there, and then you went out in public, you were allowed as a child to make a mistake and to act and say, but then you were corrected. And nowadays it doesn't happen at home.
Don't say nowadays.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at home. It doesn't happen on social. I'm not going to blame the schools because it's not their place. It doesn't happen on social media, and people are let loose to run wild with their thoughts and theories.
Because everybody's opinion is as good as the next person.
As being news, and it's not that way anymore.
No, but what is really interesting, and I still wonder, what happened to the grown-ups? What happened to the editors? If I usually take this position. If I can figure it out, then certainly the great and the good should be able to. And therefore, there must be more of an investment in keeping people totally whacked out than getting people to say, hey, just slow your roll. You don't have anything. Whenever I read stuff about AI and like robots, we're going to replace you with a robot. Oh, all of these jobs can be automated. I start thinking, yeah, they could be. But people really want to sit around on their backsides all day long and have no worth?
No, we have about 2.5 minutes left, sorry, Jim. And we'll reserve it for the host of this show.
Excuse me. You know, we've heard a lot and know a lot about the Russians and the way they're spreading disinformation. We've set ourselves up for disinformation because we put out stuff without thinking about it, and we take a lot of stuff in without thinking about it. We take a lot of stuff in without checking the source. And it takes a little effort to check a source, but it's not impossible. So that's really, in my opinion, a big downside here, what we're talking about. Now, clean air, the environment, that should be our number one need, goal, for someone who's going to run this country. Nancy Pelosi went to Madrid, Spain, where they were having a conference on climate change. And she made a very short speech, and she said, you know, perhaps the president doesn't agree with what we're trying to do, but the House of Representatives is here to tell you that the U.S. very much wants to participate in cleaner air and water and so forth. It's very, very important that you evaluate your candidates when you go to vote and see where they stand. Because, you know, folks, without this environment, which is getting more and more subject to very poor things, the health care, jobs, and so forth, they go by the by eventually. And I always look to my children and grandchildren and say, I've got to do such and such because I really enjoy them, and I want to see them go on and prosper and have fun and so forth. Anyhow, we got a lot of work to do. I strongly suggest, when you can, do the best you can to watch these hearings in the House. Two, please have the reference of the Constitution nearby. And finally, understand the reason impeachment is in the Constitution, because the framers, the founders of this country, were afraid we would go back to a monarchy, which we were under prior to the revolution. It's there to avoid a king taking over the country. The current president somehow seems to think he's a king or wants to be a king. So pay attention. You have all the information. God bless you. Have a good week. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Jim. Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.